Lord, we pray that your spirit might be with us this morning, that we might discover how we are all one in Christ, and to declare the praise of the things that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. It's often said that the pen is mightier than the sword. And while the sword has the power to control and to kill, it's the pen that has the ability to create new worlds and to unleash dangerous ideas. It's why governments lock up poets and have journalists murdered. Today, I think we heard some of the world's most dangerous ideas in Paul's letter. I wonder if you heard them. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Dangerous words, aren't they? Over the next few weeks, I want to tease out some of these words as Paul returns again and again to this theme of being in Christ. And so I'd like to tease out some of their implications for us as a congregation. And to start today by exploring something of this idea of what does it mean to be all one in Christ Jesus. When Paul wrote these words, I don't think he or anyone else could ever have imagined or realized the impact that they would have upon our world. They are the kind of words that have upset countless political leaders. They have overturned economic systems and even the social order itself. For what seems like a simple spiritual truth quickly overflows into our life as a church and from there into the world itself. For Paul's call is not simply that we recognize our spiritual equality, but to recognize the unity that follows. Because Paul lived in a world that was characterized by vast inequality between the privileged and the excluded. To be blessed was simply to have rights. It was to have a future, to have access to benefits with the promise of yet more to come. To be cursed was to have nothing. In fact, it was to be worse than nothing. It was to live a life of servitude, an inescapable bondage that meant you were humiliated each and every day with no prospect of anything better in the world to come. And so Paul identifies three of the most prominent dimensions of privilege and exclusion in his world: ethnicity, economic and social, privilege and exclusion. And while many people could slip down into this world of exclusion, very few people ever found themselves moving up, because these things were fixed in Paul's world. In Paul's world, perhaps the most evident source of privilege was your heritage. Jews and Gentiles just looked down upon each other. To Greeks and Romans, well, to be Jewish, that was by very definition to be intransigent and superstitious. All those food laws and, oh my goodness, that whole preoccupation with circumcision, what is it with these Jews? It excluded them from life in the city and serving the emperor. To Jews, Gentiles, well, they were people who were evidently cursed by God and excluded from the covenant by virtue of the fact that they had no connection with Abraham and they just were belligerent in their attitude towards the law of Moses. They were just people fit for death, excluded from God's presence forever. If anyone typified this view of a Gentile, it was Jezebel. She was someone, she never belonged to God's people. She corrupted the nation by promoting false worship. And what's worse, she killed God's prophets. Even in Jesus' day, Gentiles could be symbolized by the Gerasene demoniac. Now, yes, he was an extreme version, but surely they were all like him. People who are held captive to deep defilement, their hearts are hostile to God, and their nature is uncontrollable. They're as good as dead to God. So in a world built on this privilege of heritage, do you hear how dangerous Paul's words are? There is no longer Jew or Greek, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul saw that by Jesus not being killed by crucifixion, but becoming cursed by God by being hung on a tree, that by raising this Jesus to life, all those curses are nullified by Jesus. And if Christ was cursed and yet raised, then we ourselves, who find ourselves cut off and excluded from God's presence, might yet come into that new life, to find ourselves being made Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. It's funny to think that this demoniac that Jesus met, this person who was not only once excluded from God's kingdom, through Christ is restored, not simply in body and mind, but restored into God's family, a Gentile who becomes the first missionary in the gospel. How's that for restoration through Christ? What matters is not the curse, but God's grace. What matters is the pronouncement of new life through faith because of Christ's faithfulness, his commitment to love, to heal, and to restore. All are one in Christ because Christ is the faithful one who loves and heals and restores us. The world of blessing and curses wasn't limited to heritage. In Paul's world, if you were a free person, you had a future because you belonged to the city. You were a part of the nation. Your children had a future. You could get married. You could own property. You could hold, yes, even a government position. And you could make decisions that affected your life. Above all, you had the right to be treated with respect and with dignity by others. But if you were a slave, that was a whole different story. You had the same rights as, well, any horse or any cow, for that matter. Your life depended entirely upon your master's whims. You couldn't marry. And your children could be sold off at a moment's notice. Everything you did as a slave was for the benefit of your master. Slavery was a system of not simply segregation, but of humiliation and exploitation. It was created by warfare, as most slaves came from lands conquered by Rome. Can you hear how radical Paul's words are? There is no longer slave or free, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. This would turn the whole economic order upside down. For if in Christ all are equal, then there could be no first class, let alone third class disciples. In the church, there could be no distinction between alleged nobility and the toiling masses. What matters is not the curse of your status. What matters is what Christ has done for each and every person. For if all receive the salvation in Christ, then nothing can be reserved for a privileged few, and no one could be excluded from those benefits. Perhaps the last privilege in Paul's world was the deepest of them all, between male and female. In the Roman and Jewish worlds, men made all the rules, and everything, every social role and expectation was ultimately justified on the basis of biology. So while men lived public lives filled with honour and service, women were secluded and protected. While men worked, women were expected to look after the home. This was nature. This was the way God had intended it all. While men owned things, women cared for children. While men were educated and their opinions mattered, women were kept in ignorance and expected to stay silent. Men could be a priest in the sanctuary and in the temple, but women had to make do in the outer courts, lest they defile God's holy presence. Can you hear how radical Paul's words are? There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Biology, it cannot be the basis of being God's people, for Christ is the one foundation, so that the benefits of God's baptism are never limited by our bodies. For Paul, being baptized into Christ made all the difference in the world. If all are in Christ, then everyone receives Christ's benefits with full equality. And if all are heirs of God's promises, then everyone is of equal value, regardless of our heritage or our status, or of our biology. To return to the law of Moses is not simply to try and wind back the clock, it is to pronounce the curse when there should be blessing. Sadly, I think the church has so often tried to defuse these dangerous words of Paul, to render them safe so that privilege can flourish and so the excluded remain on the outside. There have been some Christians who have struggled long and hard against racism and against slavery and for gender equality, but there have been far too many who have simply relied on using God's word to pronounce curses upon people, rather than being the blessing that they should be. So often we've let privilege flourish. In fact, we've baptized it, rather than letting the blessing of Christ change our world. Even today, I think there are many who would say that Paul's words are so dangerous, we should confine them to the distant past and not let them run loose in our world today. But I think Paul would have us realize that our bond in Christ transcends all the privilege and exclusion that we just take for granted in our world. I doubt that Paul could ever have imagined the modern nation state with the parties of left and right. But calls Paul to find our oneness means that no single party is godly and blessed while the other is cursed and excluded. We are all one in Christ. Similarly, Paul just couldn't have ever imagined the divisions in the church that have existed for so long. Whether it is between Catholic and Protestant, evangelical or progressive, no one has got privileged access to God while the other is excluded from Christ's presence. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And although Paul could never have imagined a world where same-sex marriage could happen or where gender fluidity could be possible, Paul's call is deeply challenging to us now, that we are all one in Christ Jesus, and that we should resist maybe using the law of Moses to curse others when there should be the blessing of faith in Christ. So I don't think Paul's words could ever be silenced, either by governments or by football players. If you belong to Christ, then you are all Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. It is Christ who has undone and abolished the curse. It is Christ who welcomes us all into God's kingdom. It is Christ who gives without restriction. And we just don't get to make those rules anymore. We all belong to Christ. And if all belong, then all should be treated with the same honour and dignity, because we are all loved by Christ and renewed through grace. I pray that as a church, we might realise this yet more deeply, because we live in a world where these barriers just seem to be getting bigger and deeper than ever before. My prayer is that we might be a place where all are welcomed. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 decades or for 5 minutes, you are still welcomed by Christ. Whether you're from the right background or the wrong side of the tracks, you are still part of God's family. Whether you are male or female or in transition, you are part of God's family. Whether you are able-bodied or impaired because of age or infirmity, you are part of God's family. I pray that we might be the kind of place where everyone gets to discover how we can be all one in Christ Jesus. And what's more, discover that if we are Abraham's offspring, then we are heirs of God's promise. Amen.